Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the program for our regular Friday morning slot. In 1957, the Master Dewal Kool, commonly known as the Master DK, wrote through Alice A. Bailey a landmark book called The Externalization of the Hierarchy. And we'd like to present this extract for your contemplation.
At certain great moments down the ages, God drew nearer to his people, and humanity at the same time made great efforts to draw near to God. On the part of God, this was intentional, conscious, and deliberate. On the part of man, it was largely unconscious, forced upon him by tragedy of circumstance, by desperate need, and by the driving urge of the collective soul. These great approaches can be traced down the centuries, and each time one took place, it meant a clearer understanding of divine purpose, a new and fresh revelation, the institution of some form of a new religion, and the sounding of a note which produced a new civilization and culture, or a fresh recognition of relationship between God and man, or man and his brothers.
A new definition of God was given us when the Buddha taught that God was light and showed us the way of illumination, and also when Christ revealed to us that God was love through his life and service on earth. Today, the knowledge aspect of illumination is being comprehended, but the inner meaning of love is only now dimly sensed. Yet light and love have been revealed to the world by two great sons of God in two approaches. A new approach is on the way, bringing us the next needed truth, and we ask ourselves, what will it be? For the knowers and lovers of God and of their fellow men... The knowers and lovers of God and of their fellow men are prepared. The masses of men await. Some of these approaches have been of a major nature, affecting humanity as a whole, and some of them are of less importance, affecting only a relatively small part of mankind, perhaps a nation or a group.
Those who come as the revealers of the love of God come from that spiritual center to which the Christ gave the name, the Kingdom of God. Here dwells the, I quote, spirits of just men made perfect, unquote. Here the spiritual guides of the race are to be found, and here the spiritual executives of God's plans live and work and oversee human and planetary affairs. It is called by many names by many people. It is spoken of as the spiritual hierarchy, as the abode of light, as the center where the masters of the wisdoms are to be found, and as the great white lodge. From it come those who act as messengers of the wisdom of God, custodians of the truth as it is in Christ, and those whose task it is to save the world, to impart the next revelation, and to demonstrate divinity. all the world's scriptures bear witness to the existence of this center of spiritual energy. This spiritual hierarchy has been steadily drawing nearer to humanity as men have become more conscious of divinity and more fitted for contact with the divine.
Behind this spiritual center of love and light, another center is to be found, for which the West has no name, but which is called in the East by the name Shambhala. Perhaps the Western name could be Shangri-La, which is a name that is finding recognition everywhere and which stands as a center of happiness and purpose. Shambhala, or Shangri-La, is the place where the will of God is focused and from which his divine purposes are directed. From it come the great political movements and the destiny of races and nations and their progress are determined. Just as the religious movements, the cultural unfoldments and the spiritual ideas are sent forth from the hierarchical center of love and light. Political and social ideologies and world religions, the will of God and the love of God, the purpose of divinity and the plans whereby that purpose is brought into activity, all focus through that center of which we are each consciously a part, humanity itself. There are, therefore, three great spiritual centers on planet Earth: Shambhala, the spiritual hierarchy, and humanity.
There is definite biblical testimony to this highest of all centers, Shambhala. At moments of crisis in the earthly life of Christ, we read that a voice spoke to him. The voice of the Father was heard by him, affirming his sonship and setting the seal of approval upon his acts and work. And that at that moment, a great fusion of the two spiritual centers, the hierarchy and Shambhala, the kingdom of God and the world of spirit, was brought about. And thus spiritual energy was released on earth. We need to remember that the work of all world saviors and teachers is to act primarily as distributors of divine energy and as channels for spiritual force. This outpouring manifests either as the impulse behind a world religion, the incentive behind some new political ideology, or the principle of some scientific discovery of importance to the growth of the human spirit. Thus do religions, governments, and civilizations find their motivation.
History has demonstrated that again and again, these developments are the result of the appearance and the activity of some great man at an advanced stage of development. Those who come forth as teachers, saviors, or founders of some new religion come forth from the hierarchy and are of the highest order of spiritual perfection. Those who convey to man the purposes of God through new ideological concepts are not as yet of so high an order, because man is not yet ready for the highest presentation. Much has to be learned and mastered by man, and spiritual unfoldment always outpaces the outer expression of human relationships and social order. Hence, the world religions come first and produce conditions which make the work of rulers possible.
Those who come forth from the spiritual center Shambhala are of great power, however, and the thread of their influence can be traced throughout history in great declarations and pronouncements such as the Magna Carta, the Declarations of Independence, and the Atlantic Charter. Those who come forth from Shambhala or the hierarchy for the release and the guidance of humanity are evoked by human desire and demand, for there is a spiritual interplay existing between humanity and the hierarchy and between both and Shambhala. Such messengers embody divine intention. The response of mankind to their messages is dependent upon the point in evolution which has been attained by man. Back in the early history of the race, these approaches were rare indeed. Countless ages would pass between them. Today, owing to the greatly increased power of the human mind and the growing sensitivity of the human soul to the spiritual values as they express themselves through major world ideologies, these approaches of the divine to the human can become more frequent and are taking on a new form.
Man's inner realization of his own innate spiritual potency and the unfoldment of his sense of relationship are bringing about an effort on his part, consciously undertaken, to make true progress towards the good, the true, and the beautiful. And this is in spite of the fact of the war and the misery and suffering present upon our earth. It has therefore become possible to synchronize the approach of the divine to the human, and to instruct the masses of men in the technique of thus invoking the approach. This attitude of humanity will lead to a new revelation, to the new world religion, and to new attitudes in the relation of man to God, which is called religion, and of man to man, which is known as government or social relationship. Now, two major approaches are to be found in the past history of the race, and both are of such significance that it would be well to note them here. They lie so far back into human history that we have only myth and monument to indicate their happening.
The first great approach of the divine to man caused the appearance of the human soul and the adding of another kingdom in nature to the already existing tree, mineral, vegetable, and animal. And so the kingdom of man appeared on earth. This occurred at the start of the Lemurian age, civilization. Eons passed away while primitive man continued to evolve. And then the second great approach took place and the spiritual hierarchy of our planet drew nearer to humanity. This was during the Atlantean civilization. The spiritual way to God was open for those who consciously can move forward, who can definitely demonstrate the Christ spirit within, and who earnestly seek enlightenment and liberation. The true appeal of Christ's word, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," urges them to move forward into the light through the gate of initiation and on to the path which shineth ever more and more until the perfect day.
At the time of the second great approach, the fact of the existence of the spiritual hierarchy, of the open door to initiation and of the way of sacrifice, first dawned on the human consciousness. And from that moment, men have found the way and have moved out of the human kingdom and into the spiritual. They have transformed their human consciousness into divine awareness. The kingdom of man and the kingdom of God were brought into relationship. Religion became a factor in the development of the human spirit, and God drew nearer to his own. God transcendent, that's God from afar, first conditions man's concept of deity. Then God as the national controller took possession of man's mind, and the Jehovah concept, as depicted in the Jewish dispensation, appeared. Next, God was seen as the perfected human being, and the divine God-man walked the earth in the person of the Christ. Today, we have a rapidly growing emphasis on God immanent, so that's God within, in every human being. Such have been the results of the second great approach, and such have been the results of the work of the world saviors and teachers down the ages, culminating in the work of the Christ, who summed up in himself the unfoldments of the past and the hope for the future.
A third great approach is now possible and will take place once war is over and man, purified by fire and suffering, has set his house in order and is ready, therefore, for a new revelation. For this coming revelation, the work of the Buddha and of the Christ has been preparatory. They embodied in themselves two lesser approaches, and through their united effort, humanity throughout the world has been prepared to play its part in this third great approach. The Buddha came embodying in himself a great divine principle or quality. He was the conveyor of enlightenment to the world. He was the Lord of Light. As is always the case, he reenacted in himself, for the instruction of his disciples, the processes of illumination and became the Illumined One. We are told in the scriptures of India that he achieved illumination under the tree, just as Christ achieved the liberation of the human spirit upon the tree set up on the hill of Golgotha. Light, wisdom, reason, as divine yet human attributes were focused in the Buddha. He proved the possibility of all men achieving this illumination and of walking in the light. He challenged the people to tread the path of illumination, to which wisdom, mental perception, and intuition are the aspects.
And then comes the next great teacher, the Christ. He embodied in himself a still greater divine principle or aspect, that of love, whilst at the same time embracing within himself all that the Buddha had of light. Christ, therefore, was the expression of both light and love. Through their work, therefore, there is now possible a deeper reaction to and a broader comprehension of the work and influence of those great lives who are waiting today to help humanity. The work of these two sons of God produced among many results the following. They embodied in themselves certain cosmic principles and by their work and sacrifice certain divine potencies poured through and upon the race, stimulating intelligence into wisdom and emotion into love. The Buddha, when he achieved illumination, let in a flood of light upon life and world problems. He formulated this revelation into the four truths. His group of disciples erected a structure of truth, which, by the power of collective thought, has flooded mankind with light.
Secondly, through the message of the Buddha, man has for the first time grasped the cause of his constant distaste and dissatisfaction and has learned that the way of release is to be found in detachment, dispassion, and discrimination. Where these are present, there is rapid release from the wheel of birth or reincarnation. Thirdly, through the message of the Christ, three concepts emerge into the racial consciousness. First, the value of the individual and the necessity for intensity of effort on his part. Secondly, the opportunity which was to be presented to humanity to take a tremendous step forward and undergo the new birth of the first initiation. And thirdly, the method whereby this next step could be taken in the new age, voiced for us in the words, love your neighbor as yourself. Individual effort, group opportunity, and men's identification with one another, such is the message of the Christ.
And I think that we'll probably round it up here. That's enough for today. That's pretty hard going there. We said the word tensity earlier on, the value of the individual and the tensity, the necessity for tensity of effort. Tensity means definite effort. So it means a concerted effort. Thank you for listening. That was a little bit of an experiment, really. If you've got any thoughts, you can email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. And for more information about Maitreya, the Christ, and the Master's teachings, you can look on share-international.org. Thanks very much, folks. Have a good weekend. Love and light. We'll be right back.